sounds like he's having a little bit of fun down there in the Caribbean. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical down in the Caribbean doing a little on-the-job research, I'm sure. We're going to call it that for the tax man anyway, right? But anyway, I'm Jop. Joining me in the studio is Chef Andrew Smith, a culinary genius. And always fun to have him on the show. We dive right into the food and the science thereof. And he's brought his little brother, Michael, with him, who is a wine expert. So if you could just sit back and think about that for about 10 seconds, if you ever get an invitation to the Smith household, you got a chef and a wine expert at the same table, and these two brothers complement one another. I've had the pleasure of being invited to those dinners, and like I said, if the phone rings, you make way in your schedule because you want to go try that stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of adopted family now in our
I bet you
group
do.
Of friends who are like, hey, what are you guys doing for this holiday? What are you doing? Is your family getting together? I don't want to go to my parents' house. Can I come to your place?
Right, yeah.
And so because of that, we actually had to go out and buy a new table the other day. My wife and I went out and bought one, and it now seats 14 people because that seems to be about 10 to 14 is about the average get-together at our house.
Yeah, now. And there's only six of you in the family, right? Yeah,
exactly. So it tends to get a little crazy there, but that's what, enjoying food and wine and beer is all about. You know,
right.
Just great get-togethers with friends and family. And I call it all family because that's really what it's all about. But, you know, what we wanted to kind of delve into next is, you know, we talked earlier about this white wine we were doing and some of the seafood and everything that you can do on the grill. But, you know, Jop, I know you're a big hunter. I'm a big hunter. I love me, some duck hunting. And this next wine that we're going to talk about, a little Pinot Noir that I think with duck or any type of game bird. Woodcock, one of my favorite birds of all time to eat. And those that haven't had it, it's a true delicacy of the Midwest, and
it's about a golf ball sized piece of meat that comes off that breast. But I tell you what, it's delicious. There's four really good bites right there.
Exactly, yeah. And then the legs on that thing are about a bite and a half each. But I'll tell you what, there's more flavor in those bite and a half than you'll ever have. So getting into this, I'm going to let Mike talk about the wine a little bit, and then I'll talk about the pairing of it. Mike. Tell us about what this Pinot Noir is.
Let's foray into the lightest of all the red wines. This is a good gateway wine. For anybody who's drinking white wine, they want to get into red wine, but they don't like that dry, fuzzy sweater feeling that they get on their teeth from big red wine. Pinot Noir is the way to go. You've got Beckon Pinot Noir. This comes from Santa Barbara, or just north of Santa Barbara, the Santa Maria Valley. This comes actually from a very famous vineyard called the Bien Nacido Vineyard. It's where a couple of really, really great wineries are located, and they're known for making some of the best Pinot Noir and Chardonnay in the world. This has got that really nice kind of smoked cherry note, that little hint of bacon, but that really nice kind of soft... Hold on, I'm going to take a quick drink, 1 second. Oh, there is that definite bacon and kind of velvet texture. It makes you think of, like, definitely duck or spatchcocked barbecue chicken. There's a lot of different things you could do on the grill with this thing. And it's also a great thing to just drink on its own. It could be the thing you drink as you're rubbing your meat down. Sorry. We'll take that back. Hold on.
Right. Well, that's all right. We all do it. Right. It's part of the process.
You can't enjoy your meat unless you rub it. So.
That's right.
Mike, I think you hit the nail right on the head with this Pinot Noir being, a just nice gateway entry wine for people. When I think about Pinot, I think about cherry, berry, jam, like you said, that bacon, a little bit of smoke. And depending on where that Pinot Noir is, it can change, immensely. But I think about Pinot Noir and I'm like, man, it's just a great wine to start off with. It's easy to drink. There's not a lot of intense tannins with it. It's got a little bit of that, for lack of a better term, kind of soda pop type of, flavor to it. And I just think it goes really well, as the French have done with Burgundy, with all the regal game birds, grouse, woodcock, duck,
pheasant.
Yeah, they've only been doing it a couple of years, so they might have got it right.
Right.
Eventually through trial and error.
Yeah.
Pinot Noir is awesome that way. And it's just a really light, enjoyable red wine that you can do all summer long.
Right.
Because when that heat's on, you're out on that deck, you're braving those temperatures to get that grill going. You need to have something that's a little refreshing. And if white wine isn't your bag, you can definitely do a little chill on some Pinot Noir, bring the fruit out a little bit in it, and actually have something that's really nice and juicy and refreshing.
People enjoy that, and it's a sipper. I mean, this is the difference between a beer drinker, which is me, and a wine drinker, is that, you know what, a 12-ounce pour is a beer. Right, but a wine is what typically
five to 6 ounces. Well, at Andrew's house, it's 12 ounces.
Right. Just like yeah, right. We like equality in our household. So yeah, well, beer is 12 ounces, wine's 12 ounces.
Yeah, you've got those wine glasses you can stick your fist in.
That's right.
You can fit a whole bottle of wine in that thing.
Yeah,
I've done
and
it before.
That way, I only have one glass of wine a day.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, how many? Yeah, that's the old happy days, right? Richie Cunningham. How many glasses of beer did you have? Just one, but it was like. Monster, right? Yeah. Oh, that goes back a ways. But anyway, so guys, this is we're on the fruity end of the red. Let's take a step in a little further. We talked about the Malbecs and the Cabs, but the Cabernets are where everybody that fancies themselves as a red wine drinker is a Cabernet drinker, right? And you just described that as the fuzzy feather. The wine might be getting to me.
Yeah, put down the glass.
The fuzzy sweater on your teeth. And so explain what you mean by that.
Fuzzy sweaters on your teeth, or that chalky feeling in your mouth like somebody just clapped blackboard erasers in your mouth, is caused by tannins. And that comes from the skins and the seeds of the grape. And it's actually a type of acid, and it actually dries out your mouth. It's tannic acid. And it gives the wine some of its structure, some of its broad-shouldered aspect. And it comes out in different levels in different grapes. Grapes are just like people. They have personality. And Cabernet generally has a lot more tannic aspect to it, kind of like Petit Verdot or any of the other noble grapes from Bordeaux. Also, Malbec has some of that as well.
So Malbec is an Australian grape or Argentina? Help me out.
No, actually, it originated in France, in Bordeaux. It's one of the five noble grapes. Those five noble grapes being Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. And it was brought down to Argentina onto the Mendoza Plateau due to the high elevation. That grape actually mutated a little bit and grew thicker skins. And those thicker skins of what have helped that grape develop into what we know as Argentine Malbec now.
Okay, I think that I might have mutated a little bit working with Barbecue Bob over the last few years. He got some thicker skin as well, but he's not here to defend himself, so we can throw him right under that bus. But
yeah, I tell you what, after doing one event with Bob, I can say that my skin definitely got a lot thicker.
Yeah.
Watching you two go at it, it's like watching two school kids in the play yard.
Yeah. We had fun, though. That was a great tailgate, by the way.
Yes, it was.
That was a great tailgate. We had a lot of fun. But so of the grapes that are out there, if I'm back to, let's get down to the layman.
Okay.
That's there. He walks up to the wine shelf and there's red wines there. Again, the two or three questions that he's got to ask himself about red wine is
sweet or dry. Okay. And that's just as important nowadays because there are a lot of red wines out there that are fairly sweet, have a fair amount of residual sugar left in them for that millennial market and for those entry-level wine drinkers, because we don't, in the wine industry, want to turn anybody away. We want everybody drinking wine, having a good time, and that goes all the way back to enjoy what's in your glass.
So we talked about the Pinot Noir being the sweeter side. Are there others that are on that sweeter side before we get to the fuzzy sweater?
Pinot is going to be dry.
Okay.
But it's just going to be lighter, softer. Think of it as more feminine.
That's why I like it.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't like girls? But anyway, what you got in your glass right now, Jop, is a great example of something that's big, juicy, jammy. This is the ultimate in just about anybody's wheelhouse of best barbecue wine. This is Zin, red Zin.
Oh, yeah.
Not the pink stuff that you put on ice.
Not its Kentucky cousin.
The real deal. Yeah, right.
So red Zin is like the home run and a half. If you're barbecuing, red Zin should definitely be on the table some way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter if you're talking about from the area Lodi where this is from, or anywhere in California, or even Primitivo from the south of Italy.
Yeah. Maybe in the next segment we could talk a little bit about Michigan wines, because we do have some wineries here. We're partial to Fenn Valley. They've got some a lot of varietals, I think, that they produce. But we could maybe touch on that, too, because those are things that maybe some people would like to support the local economy as well.
Absolutely.
As France in California. But Coming up next, we're going to wrap this thing up, and we're going to bring it to a close, but we might talk a little bit about Michigan wine. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.